It's been a vacation week. A lot of things have slowed down, people taking some time off. The weather's been nice, and by the way, I encourage you to find some time to get a little rest, relaxation, maybe some recreation. But God never goes on vacation, and you know, there's churches that close during the summertime. They just kind of pack it all up, close the doors, windows, pull the sign up, the rugs, and the minister, I don't know what he does, maybe goes to, I don't know, goes and plays golf all summer. But we had several people that trusted Christ as Savior this morning, 8 to my knowledge. And then we had, how many people got baptized? Maybe 7 or 8 people got, 9 people got baptized tonight. And God's not on vacation. The work of the Lord continues to go on. This is a good crowd for a holiday week, too, to be here on Sunday night. I commend you. I think you made a very wise choice in being here. Why don't you encourage someone else to show up, too? And thank you, Linda, for that. What a great song. We talked about that this morning. One of the things that motivated Paul the Apostle in telling other people about Christ is that he was forgiven. That was a positive consequence of salvation. Forgiven. He had made his peace with God. You don't have to wait till 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 days before you die to say, well, I think I'm going to get right with God. I've lived my life for myself. I've done what I want to do. Now I'm ready to get right with God in these last few minutes of my life so I can go to heaven. Problem with that is, of course, you create a lot of messes in your life along the way. They can be cleaned up. I understand that. And they can be forgiven. The problem is you never know when you're going to die. You're kind of counting on the fact that you're going to have, you know, days or weeks or maybe months of warning before you die. And none of us has any promise that we will have 1 minute of warning before we die. Every day we read in the newspapers, we hear on radio, see on television of tragedies of people who met unexpected deaths. They got up in the morning just like you and I did this morning, going through their day. They had all kinds of plans, but they never lived until midnight. I don't say that to frighten anybody. I just say that because that's reality. And we ought to stop and consider that. Don't play around with the time that God has given you to find Him. Your purpose, God's purpose for your life is that you would find Him, gain the knowledge of God, come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior in this life. I made my peace with God almost 28 years ago. And I'm glad. I've been ready to die all that time, and it's made life a lot better than it ever would have been any other way. In fact, it really totally changed my life, and for the better, I might add. Do you have a Bible this evening? Do you think you can find the book of Proverbs? If you will just kind of let it fall open, it might even hit Proverbs, because it's pretty close to the middle of your Bible. We're going to, about 3 Sunday nights ago, I did a message on some of the most important, if not the most important, lessons of life found in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. And I did that evening. One reason was to kind of introduce you to the fact that for many Sunday nights to come, we're going to be looking into the book of Proverbs. We're going to go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and study all 915 verses of it. Can you take it? Well, it's a good book. I'll tell you what, it's a good book. And as you get into it, I think that you'll realize that it maybe is the most practical book of all, certainly in the Old Testament for living. Let's just read the first 9 verses tonight. Proverbs 1, verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Father, thank you for your word, and I ask for your help. Lord, there's so much that could be said. I can't say it all, but lead me, guide me to say those things most important for each in this congregation. And we'll ask it in the lovely name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed this. I know some of you have, probably not all. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. A great habit to get into would be to read the corresponding chapter in the book of Proverbs to the date of the month. Today is July the 9th. Today it would be good to just open up your Bible and read Proverbs chapter 9. Tomorrow I'll read chapter 10 and on and on. Now I know there's going to be some months when chapter 31 is going to get neglected. And February is really a bad month because there's three of those chapters will get neglected. But if you're really tough, seasoned veteran in the Bible, and you got a couple extra minutes, you could actually, on the 30th, read two whole chapters in one day and make sure that you went through the whole book. But wouldn't that be a great habit to get into the rest of your life? Every day just to read the corresponding proverb to the date. I'm just going to kind of challenge you with that as a thought. It'd be a good habit to get into. Now, there's about 915 verses, and hundreds of proverbs or little maxims or adages or sayings in the book of Proverbs that deal with all kinds of subjects. They deal with wisdom and folly or foolishness. We'll talk about that in a moment. Pride and humility, justice and vengeance. The proverbs deal with laziness in work. That could be a very, very lightly attended evening when we talk about that. Poverty and wealth, friends and neighbors, love and lust, anger and strife, masters and servants, and the very matters, the most important matters of life and death. All of them are dealt with here in the book of Proverbs. These aren't just theories or theoretical statements. These are practical proverbs or maxims, timeless truths that will touch every area, every aspect of your life. Someone said, reading a proverb may take just but a few seconds, but it may take the rest of your life to apply it. It's easy to read it. Some of us won't even do that. But it may take you the rest of your life to apply these proverbs. The key word in the book is the word wisdom. And it means the ability to live life skillfully. Now, I'm not skillful at anything. I'm a bumbling 5-10 thumbs individual. I can saw a board in half. I can do that. I didn't say it'd be straight when I saw it in half, but I can do that. I can do a few things, but I'm not really skillful at anything. There's a lot of things I think, you know, I'd like to have the talents of an electrician and a plumber and heating and air conditioning man, a carpenter, and there's so many things like that. I'd like to be a zero handicap golfer. Skillful. I'd like to be able to go to a golf course someday and shoot 18. When I shoot 18, I guarantee you I will have the sport mastered. I don't know anyone that ever shot 18, but that's my goal in life. Perfect golf. Hole in one on 18 straight holes. Even on those 563-yard par fives. Now that would be something, wouldn't it? You say that's impossible. It probably is. But that's skill. But if you're going to be skillful about something, maybe it's auto mechanics, maybe it's some sport, recreational thing, whatever it might, there's lots of things that we could be skillful in. But if there's one thing that you're going to be skillful in, one thing that will pay dividends the rest of your life, it's to be skillful in living life being wise and knowing how to make wise decisions as an individual. Young people, particularly old geezers like me, not that we're way over the hill and it's impossible, but careful out there, careful, careful, no amens right now, please. Not that we're that far over the hill, but, you know, most of, or the majority of our lives are behind us. But you young people, you can become skillful in life now, and you've got 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years yet or more to live. Just think, if you could be skillful at life and live all those years as this wise individual tuned into the principles of God's Word, I encourage you really to work on this. Wisdom is the key word in the book. Wisdom appears, if my count is correct, about 54 times in the book. Now, there's 31 chapters, and that word alone appears 54 times. The word wise appears 66 times in the book. That's about 120 times between the two. That's four times every chapter the word wise or wisdom shows up in the book of Proverbs. It's an important subject in the book. The words fool or folly or foolish or foolishly, or foolishness, they appear about 73 times totally in the book. The key words are wisdom and foolishness. And basically, what the book is a contrast between two kinds of people. Wise people, people who are skilled in living life, and foolish people who are constantly bumbling and mumbling and griping and moaning and making mistakes and doing things over and over and over again, creating more problems every time they do rather than getting better at life. Foolishness. Everybody makes mistakes, but it's a fool that makes the same mistake twice. I know I've done some dumb things, and I know that I've done some wrong things, some sinful things in my life. Everybody does that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you're a fool if you make those same mistakes, if you commit those same sins over and over and over again. We ought to learn from our mistakes. We ought to learn from the consequences of our sins. We ought to learn from God's proverbs and His commandments how to live and to live a skillful life. God's wisdom, according to James chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first, and there's seven things that follow. It's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James gives us a good New Testament definition or description of what wisdom is all about. Wisdom is pure. Wisdom seeks peace. Wisdom is gentle. Wisdom is easy to be entreated. That means easy to get along with. Wisdom is full of mercy and full of good fruits. Wisdom is also without partiality. It means it's not prejudiced. And wisdom is not hypocritical. Wisdom doesn't say one thing and then do something else. In fact, the Bible teaches in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of wisdom. Oftentimes I have said and will always say, probably until the Lord takes me or whatever, that whenever you are faced with a decision to make in life of any consequence, you need to stop and ask yourself this question: what would Jesus do? Now, the only way you're going to have an answer to that question is if you've studied the Bible and you've studied the life of Christ and the character of Christ. Then you'll have a real good chance at coming up with the right answer to that question. What would Jesus do? When you come up with the answer to that question, then you do what Jesus would do, and that is wisdom. That's what wisdom is all about. Wisdom is acting or behaving just like Jesus Christ. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's what wisdom is in God's Word. Wisdom is the key word. The key verses, I think, in the book show up very early in the book. Chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7 are key. It's a key passage in the book when it says that a wise man will hear. You'll hear. If you're wise, you'll sit back and you'll allow God to teach you. It'll be a teachable moment. You'll listen to what God has to say. A wise man will hear, and the consequence will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You become wise by sitting back, not being a know-it-all. Well, I know the answer to that. Yeah, I know what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. No, a wise person is a person who sits back and learns, listens, and takes to heart what he hears. He'll attain to wise counsels. To understand a proverb, wisdom, understand it, and the interpretation. And then in verse number 7, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Later on in the book, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, you can tell when a person's growing up when they'll sit back and listen to what the Bible says, and rather than in their pride and arrogancy shirk your advice and shrug their shoulders at the wisdom or the information you're trying to share with them, they'll sit back and they'll say, "Tell me, teach me." You know, young person, I'll tell you how you can tell when you're growing up. You know, you look in the mirror and you go, "Have I got whiskers?" That's what the guys do. "Oh, I'm growing up. Look, there's one right there." No, that's not how you tell when you're growing up. Girls, I'm not sure how you girls. I'm not going to go into all that stuff. I'm getting in trouble if I start talking about that. But I'll tell you how you can know when you're growing up. When you stop and you say, "You know, I'm willing to listen and learn from somebody else. Teach me about life." When you get that feeling, that thought, that desire within you to learn, you're starting to grow up. You see how bad off some of you are? You're not there yet. You really think you already know everything. You don't think you need to learn anything. You don't like to hear from your parents or your teachers or your pastor or other authority. You don't want to hear it from them because you got it all figured out. You know what that's a sign of? Foolishness. You're a fool. I didn't say that to make you mad. I said that to make you wake up. You're a fool. We always ought to have, and I don't care how old you are, we always ought to have a teachable spirit. Teach me something. That's a sign of maturity. That's a passage that's a key passage. Another passage, and one of my favorites, is in Proverbs chapter 3. And you don't have to turn there. It's familiar to all of you. And I can quote it to you, and you ought to be able to quote it to me. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding." That gets you in trouble a lot of times, doesn't it? "Lean not on thine own understanding in all thy ways," and everything you do in this life. Acknowledge Him. Consider God. Consider His will. Consider His wisdom. And the Bible says, "And He shall direct thy paths." That's a key passage in the book of Proverbs. Young people particularly, consider what God has to say, and He will direct thy paths. Now, the main themes of the book of Proverbs, and there's many ways to categorize these, and this is just one way in which I've chosen to. There's many themes, and just probably every practical living area of our lives is touched in the 900 verses. But the Bible speaks of, in the book of Proverbs, who and what I am. Talks about my spirit and my mind and my tongue and my heart. It tells me what I should be and It tells me what I should not be. It speaks of my relationship with God, God the Father, my relationship with Jesus. It speaks of my relationship with God through the Bible and prayer, and it speaks of God's blessings that God has in store for you in your life. The book of Proverbs talks about my relationships with other people, with family and friends. It talks about human appearance and the vanity that is so easy for each one of us to get caught up in, what we look like. More and more so today is that a problem with us because of our culture and the accentuation of appearance, youthfulness and beauty and all of that. Not only those things, but it talks about my walk as a Christian. The book of Proverbs deals with the testings that will come into my life, sin, temptations, and the trials of life. The book of Proverbs deals with the institutions to which I am responsible as a Christian, to church and to government. And it speaks of many miscellaneous subjects like the wicked, money, the gospel, and of course, as we already mentioned, wisdom. If you look there, right in those first 9 verses, I think we could pick out 9 things for which this book, or purposes for which this book was written. The first, in verse number 2, why was the book of Proverbs written? To know wisdom and instruction, in verse 2. Verse 2 also gives us the second reason why the book was written, to perceive the words of understanding. Thirdly, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Fourthly, to receive the instruction of justice. Fifthly, to receive the instruction of judgment. Sixthly, to receive the instruction of equity. There's 4 words that are used there that are not synonymous. They are certainly linked, or they are in one way or another, they relate one to another, but they aren't the same. Wisdom and justice aren't the same. Justice and judgment aren't the same. Judgment and equity are not the same. But those are all things that are taught in the book of Proverbs. The 7th reason for which the book was given, to give subtlety to the simple. The 8th reason, to give the young man knowledge, in verse 4. The 9th reason, to give the young man discretion. Now, we could take the time, and I'm not going to do that, to go through each one of them and explain them. But as we go through the study, we'll probably come back to these. But maybe just for a moment, let me look at a couple of the words there. The word justice, what does that mean? It means to be just. It means to be discerning in moral issues as to what is right and what is wrong. That's justice. Judgment is the ability to discriminate. That's not necessarily a politically correct word today, but that's something you need to do. You need to be a discriminating believer or person. Now, I don't mean sexually or racially. I mean you ought to know the difference between or among things in this life. What is the difference between wisdom and fool? You ought to be discriminating. That's having good judgment. The word equity implies the ability for one to tell when 2 things are in balance and when they are not, when things are fair, equitable. It says, 7th in the 7th in the list, to give subtlety to the simple. This is the to produce discretion in a person by giving them information through the experiences of life. It means to understand human nature. Knowledge is a fund of information or a storehouse of facts. We really can't act, we can't make logical, or we can't make biblical decisions if we don't have knowledge. The word discretion is contained in the 9th reason for the writing of the book. And discretion is the ability to wisely use the facts, the knowledge that has been given to us. Because knowledge by itself can be very dangerous. But Proverbs 2:11 says that discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. According to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, you can tell a wise man because a wise man will do six things. He will hear. He will increase in learning. He will attain to wise counsels. He will understand the Proverbs. He will understand their interpretation. That's not necessarily the same thing. And he will understand the dark sayings of the wise. Now let me give you a list of contrasts here between two types of people that we've already mentioned that really are the key figures or key words in the book, the fool and the wise individual. We'll just look at a few verses here. And why don't we turn to them? Even though I've got them typed out, I think it's a good exercise for you to see them as you hear them. The fool in Proverbs, notice verse 7 of the chapter that we're reading, it says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Young people, old people, middle-aged people, when one of your acquaintances, one of your peers, and one of your friends scoffs at the truths that are found in God's Word. Maybe they have to deal with being an honest individual, and they think it's a joke to be honest. Well, don't you know that nobody's honest? And you better get what you can, and it's only wrong if you get caught. You hear people scoffing at truth like that, you know they're a fool. You hear people who are scoffing at moral righteousness and purity, you know that that person is a fool. Because the Bible says in verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't want to hear it. I hate it. Leave me alone. That's a fool. Have you ever talked like that yourself? Have you ever rebelled against God's Word and God's truths and principles and said something to the effect, I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. Have you ever done that to your parents when your parents were trying to give you instruction? By the way, you could be 50 or 60 years of age and identify with what I'm talking about. Have you ever rejected your parents' instruction and just said, I don't want to hear it? That's a fool, according to the Bible. You're a fool. Proverbs chapter 10 tells us, look at verse 18. I'm going to stay right in the book here, and I'm going to give you some signs or characteristics of the fool. And although the word is mentioned in one of its derivatives 73 times, we're just going to look at 6 or 7 or maybe 8 of these. Proverbs chapter 10, in the 18th verse, it says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." A fool is a person who slanders other people, who says things about other people that are not true. Now, gossip can be true. You understand? When we gossip about people, we might be telling the truth, but it just doesn't need to be told. We don't need to be passing it on. But slander is lying about somebody else, defaming the character of another individual, maybe acting on second or third hand information about someone else. You go to your friend and you state what you think you heard that person said three people removed. You tell your friend that it's true. Did you hear what so-and-so did? And they go, well, how do you know? And you go, well, so-and-so told so-and-so who told so-and-so who told me. So I know it's true. You are a fool if you believe things like that. I know human nature, and I know how people embellish the facts, and how people exaggerate, and how people take something and make it real juicy so they'll have a little conversation with their friend about something that is just wild and exciting, and maybe a little radical. It's called slander. Lying about people. You know what you ought to do? You ought not to talk about other people. You'd be really safe. You won't slander another person if you don't talk about other people. A fool is a slanderer. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Here's another mark or characteristic of a fool in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools mock sin. They say, "You're still a virgin? What's the matter with you? What's your problem? What are you, a fag?" You say, "That's pretty strong." I said that on purpose, because that's how people talk. And that's how your friends will come on to you to try to get you to do something immoral. They'll tell you there's something wrong with you because you're morally pure. And they're wrong. They're a fool. Fools make a mock at sin. By the way, they do that every day and night on television, because they present sin as something, and sinful circumstances and scenarios as something to be desired. They paint pretty pictures of adultery and fornication and drug use and all of the stuff that goes along with that. I don't have time to give you a list. But they make it look attractive. Those people that do those things are fools, according to the Bible. They make a mock at sin. You ought not to be led around by fools. You're not that foolish yourself, are you, to listen to them and to their advice? They don't know how to live life. By the way, you only see what they portray on television. You don't see the real consequences of what's going on behind the scenes. They don't show you that part. That's done on purpose, by the way, because they're fools. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10, gives us another mark or characteristic of a fool. It says, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." You say, what does that mean? That means that a fool is a person who will not be corrected. You're not going to straighten me out. Not going to tell me what to do. You can punish me. You can beat me. You can ground me. You can do whatever you want. But I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. Pop. That's a fool. That's a fool. That's what that verse says right there. That's a real life scenario. A fool is one who resists punishment for correction. A fool, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24. Look with me there. It says in 23, "A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth." See, what does that mean, Pastor? See, wisdom is right here. Okay? It's right in your lap. It's right here. But the fool is looking around for truth. Maybe it's in Tibet. And they march off into Tibet. Or they go down into Australia and they dig down in the ground looking for truth. Or maybe they're looking through a telescope, looking out there for aliens and extraterrestrials. Truth is out there somewhere. And they ask questions like, "Where did we come from?" Those are fools. Their eyes are in the end of the earth. That's what that verse means. That's a fool. And the truth is right in front of you. It's right there. And you're looking all over the world trying to find truth, and it's right in your lap. That's a fool. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3 says this, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." Fools are meddlers. Fools are people who make it their business to get involved in everybody else's business. That's a fool. You know what the danger is, ladies and gentlemen, of sitting and talking on the telephone endlessly or on the internet with all your little e-buddies out there? You know what the danger is? You start talking about things you ought not to be talking about. You start talking about people you ought not to be talking about. You start meddling with things. You ought to just mind your own business and keep your nose out of it. Start messing around with all that stuff. Well, did you hear about so-and-so and so-and-so did this and so-and-so went there and they're doing this and I don't know why they did it. And you know what their parents said? And it goes on and on and on and on and blah, 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 blah. You know what that is? It's meddling. It's meddling. It's meddling. You know what that's a sign of? It's a sign of a fool. The fool, the Bible says, uttereth all his mind and it doesn't take long. Not much there. Says the same junk over and over and over. Proverbs chapter 26. 26. A fool. Proverbs 26. Verse number 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now, I already commented on this. Everybody makes mistakes, but the fool does it. Goes back and makes the same mistakes over and over again. That's what that verse is all about. You just never learn a lesson from the last time. You go to jail, you go back again for the same thing. You overdose on drugs and you don't learn your lesson. You go back and do it again 3 weeks later. You didn't learn from making bad decisions and who you were going to affiliate yourself with, and you ended up getting in trouble, and you get out of that one and you go right back into it by getting involved with another bad crew. You return to your vomit. What a picture. Blech. And then you go back and you go, yummy, yummy. I love puke. Hey, that's God said that. You don't have to use much of your imagination to understand what God's talking about. You puke up that poison one time, you go back and eat it all over again. That's what he's saying. That's a fool. You don't learn from your mistakes. Proverbs 28, the last one of these things characterizing a fool. There's many more. I'm just giving you a sampling of them. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, that a fool, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. A fool is a person who's trusting in their own intuition. Well, I just got a feeling. Yeah, but the Bible says, yeah, but I got a feeling. I got a feeling, and I really believe, and I think I'm right, and I think this is the way it ought to be done. Yeah, but the Bible says you're going to get into it. I don't care. I'm going to trust in my own intuition, my own heart. I'm going to trust in my feelings. I don't care what the pastor says. I've got feelings for that person, and I'm going to go after that person, even if the pastor or my parents or somebody else says it's unwise, an unwise relationship. That's a fool. Now, let's end with the good news, all right? We don't want to be those people. You want to be somebody, any one of those things? I don't want to be any of those people. But the wise man is also characterized in the book of Proverbs. Let's go back to the beginning of the book, and when I go through this list, we're going to pray and we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35, talks about the wise man. And it says in that last verse of that chapter that the wise shall inherit glory. Let me tell you, that means you're going to go to heaven. Wise people are going to heaven. Fools are going to hell. A wise man shall inherit glory. Now that word inherit, I think even goes beyond going to heaven. But it talks about the rewards of eternal life. It talks about the inheritances that Colossians talks about, that Paul speaks of in the New Testament. The rewards that God gives to those who are faithful in His ministry, in His work, in eternity. It's not just heaven. It's heaven and the rewards for our faithfulness. That's a wise man, being faithful in the ministry. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Here's another characteristic of the wise man. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 8, says that the wise in heart will receive commandments. When you read it, you go, okay, that's what I need to do. I may not like it, but Lord, you got my number. I need to make a change in my life. You see the second half of that verse, it says, but a prating fool shall fall. You keep dilly-dallying around God's commandments, prating around it. Well, I don't know if I know what it says, but I don't know. That's a prating fool. I know what the Bible says, Benny. I just don't know if I want. I know what it says, but I don't know that I can do that. I've got some things that I want to tell. It's a prating fool. It says, shall fall, prattling. Prating. Okay? The wise man receives commandments. Proverbs 11, verse 30 tells us about wise man. Most of you are familiar with this one. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but he that winneth souls is wise. Somebody who's involved in evangelism and winning people to Christ. There's many ways to do that. The best way is for you to be a witness, an ambassador, a representative of Christ. But you can be involved in doing that by giving to missions and helping others go to the mission field. You can get involved by supporting the evangelistic efforts and outreach of your church. You can get involved in the ministry and working in Happy Five or athletic ministry or a Christmas celebration or an Easter pageant or whatever it is, because you know that as a result of your efforts and the corporate efforts of your brothers and sisters in Christ, that people are going to get saved. That's a wise person. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I don't care what anybody says. I think I'm right. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A wise person is a person who has a teachable spirit and seeks out wise people and asks them to help them make decisions, important decisions in life. Young people, listen to me. Old people too. Young people, this might be more important, but for you, where you are in life, get yourself a board of counselors. Good people that you can trust when you've got major decisions to make in your life. You could come to me with a problem. I would attempt to give you the best advice that I could give you according to God's Word. But if you said, Pastor, I'd like to go and get a second opinion, you know what I would say? I'd say, go ahead. It's all right with me. I'd like to know who you're going to go to for that second opinion. But I think it's good. In the multitude of counselors, the Bible says, there wanteth not wisdom. Young people, your parents ought to be on your board of directors. Your pastor, your youth pastor, ought to be on your board of directors. Somebody that you look up to in your church, you know that person's a godly individual. They've proven themselves over the years, and they even have a personal interest in you. You ought to put them on your board of directors. When you've got major decisions in your life to make, you ought to go to those people and give them an opportunity to have input into your life. See, a wise man hearkens unto counsel. And Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16 tells us that a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. See, the wise man fears evil. By the way, there's something to be feared. That doesn't mean that I respect it. That means I'm afraid of it. Avoid it. Don't go by it. Go around it. Get away from it. Flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. Get out. Be afraid of evil. Don't mess around with it. The fool, the verse says there, is he rageth and is confident. He says, I can mess around with that stuff. It might hurt you, but it ain't going to hurt me. Because I'm special. Won't mess me up. I can go out and drink a quart of alcohol. Won't hurt me. I can take drugs. Won't hurt me. I know how far I can go. I know what I can do and get away with it and not get hurt. See, you don't. Because you never know your failure point until you pick up the thing that you can't lift anymore. Then you find out. Then you find out your failure point. And that's a terrible way to find out. It's a terrible way to find out that you can't bench press 500 pounds because you got the bar on your neck.
I think I can do 450.
Too late, man. Better get somebody to pull that thing off your neck. But you know what? You get 500 pounds in your neck, you might not get the chance to say anything. You get an automobile and you're drunk and you're 16 years old and you don't have a driver's license and you're out there having a good time with your pals, you may find yourself going off the road, hitting a tree and killing yourself. You may find that barbell right on your neck and nobody's going to ever pull it off. You don't know what you can do. You don't know what you can take. Don't be a fool. A wise man fears and departs from evil. Proverbs 15:7. I'm almost done for those of you that got an 8 o'clock program you got to catch. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." A wise person shares what he knows to be true with others. Young people, share what you know to be true from God's Word. Exercise positive peer pressure on your friends. Tell them what the Bible says. When you see them walking in the wrong direction, walking into a trap, about to fall in a hole, tell them what the Bible says. Don't just stand back and wait for the splash or splat. Talk to them. Don't be self-righteous. But tell them what the Bible says. And make sure that your walk matches what you're saying. Then you'll have some power with them. You'll impact them. But if you're a hypocrite, they'll just laugh at you. But if your life is pure and you give good advice, even though they may not take it, it'll have power and influence with them. They won't forget what you said. See, a wise person dispenses knowledge, shares knowledge. And a wise person, Proverbs 18, verse 15, says that a wise person seeks knowledge. Not only dispenses it, but you got to get it before you can give it out. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. We ought to be learners, students of God's Word. We ought to get it. This is a book on skillful. I want to get my PhD in skillful living. It's more valuable to you than getting a PhD in chemical engineering, I assure you. Now, you might make a little more money by getting your PhD in chemical engineering, but you will never have a happier life until you get your PhD in successful and godly, skillful living. That's what wisdom's all about. And then Proverbs chapter 29. I'm taking these in order, not necessarily in order of importance, but in order of occurrence. Proverbs 29 verse 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." And like I said before, it doesn't take long for many. "But a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." Wise man gets the facts, listens, considers, prays before he speaks. A fool just, blah, 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 blah. "Well, I think, and I think, well, yeah, I heard what you said, and I think about that, blah, blah, blah." And they just, fools just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And after a while, you're listening to them and you're asking yourself, are they even thinking about what they're saying? That's the fool. A wise man stops and considers the consequences of his words. Are they true words? Will they be kind words? Will they be helpful words? Will they glorify God? Lots of questions to ask before you talk, rather than just prattling, rattling on, saying things that are of no value whatsoever, in fact, may be detrimental. Proverbs 29 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." He gets the facts. He knows what he's talking about before he speaks. engage brain before tongue. That's a wise man. It's going to be fun going through this book. There's a lot of things that I've written down that I could have said, but the timing is pretty good right now to end. I'm not in a hurry to get through it all because there's so much to say, but we're going to be talking about what it means to be a skillful individual in what some people call the game of life. How can we live life to its fullest, get the most out of it, glorify God, make good decisions, be helpful and edifying to other people? You can do that by being a wise person. And you don't have to look through a telescope. You don't have to go to the library up in the stacks looking through old journals from the 1700s. You don't have to be digging in the ground looking for Piltdown Man and his brother and sister. It's right here in the book. It's right here in the book. Wisdom and truth in God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word tonight, the opportunity to gather. Thank you for the people who have come tonight in obedience and baptism. People who are wise people, making wise decisions in their lives. I pray that you would bless them and their families. Lord, that you would take them from this point and thrust them forward days and weeks and months into their Christian life. Help them to mature and grow. Lord, help all of us to realize that the truth isn't out there somewhere. It's in here, in our hands, in this book called the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a wonderful week. Wednesday night, the King's Brass. Look forward to see you then. Good night now.